Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart, and today I'm joined by Margaret Weniger. She's the Executive Director at We Are Girls Club, and we're going to talk sales development and diversity and honor sales teams. Margaret, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So We Are Girls Club is not the company I expected to have on, having, you know, real sales talent, just because new, hadn't heard of them, not a software startup. Or a tech company. So talk to me about your journey to get there.
Yeah. So it's been interesting. I fell backwards into software about 10 years ago. I was working for a company called Active Network, which does participant management software. Super fun. So registration platforms for endurance events, little league baseball, really, really cool things to do. So I started there selling before there was a thing as sales development. That dates me a little bit. Got the opportunity to manage and learned a lot there. And then we ended up relocating our headquarters from San Diego to Dallas. Decided I did not want to relocate, but we did decide that we weren't going to stay in San Diego. So started to look at places, decided to come back to Atlanta, and got introduced to, at the time, a up-and-coming startup called Sales Loft. And they happened to be looking for somebody to run their sales development team and got the chance to be the director of sales development. Growing the team, we started with 8, and when I left, we were just over 22. So wow. Really fun to be there at a high growth time, learned a ton about the sales development role, both inbound and outbound, and then went to a company where I got to actually run the sales organization. So I had both sales development and working with account executives and helping go to market, build out the process. And it was a lot of fun, but ultimately came down to as a female sales leader, I felt very much this responsibility to kind of pave the way and be an example for others to follow. And, you know, for me, that wasn't really the right journey. And so Lauren Bailey, who started Girls Club, has been a mentor. She was telling me about what she was doing with Girls Club and started helping do contract work with her. And next thing I knew, it fit all the things that I loved about sales leadership, was that I got to work with budding sales talent and sales leaders, and got to help create a community for women that were like me, that were looking for others to connect with, to learn from, and to grow their confidence so that they could continue advancing their careers. So it's been a windy path, but I'm really excited to be here now.
That's really cool. And I totally agree with you on the sort of needing a little bit more diversity. I remember when we first started, I started the CRM company, which was a disaster. Long story for a different podcast. we sort of pivoted our business around Aaron's book. And I remember I was new to hiring. And so what do you naturally do? You hire a bunch of people that are just like you. And I remember looking around the office one day, being like, this is a hockey locker room. Like, this is not a great environment. And like, if we don't actually like diversify a little bit, this whole company is going to turn into just one big version of this. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with the hockey locker room. That's sort of fun in certain contexts, but like, I don't want to come to work to that every day. And it took us a while to figure out how to actually get females to apply. Cause that was one thing that we really struggled with is, especially in the sales role, there's already a reduced amount. And I think we weren't paying attention to certain things that just, so the way we wrote our jobs, the way we described things, we couldn't attract anybody of the opposite sex. And so we're like, okay, well, we need to do something different. How do we figure this out? So talk to me about sort of maybe before we go into how, talk to me about why.
Yeah.
Pay more attention to women on our sales teams.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's really great is, especially companies early on have an amazing opportunity because anyone that I've talked to, the defining moment seems to be around 5 employees and that you either commit to it then, and you are intentional about sustaining it, or you don't commit to it then. And then you're fighting an uphill battle trying to fix some of the hiring decisions that have been made. So not to say that people are up a creek, because we're going to talk about lots of things that companies can do to get back on the path. But you know, I think there's a lot of research out there now that shows companies, there's tons around diversity, and then specifically companies where women are running the companies, they've shown to have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15% improved performance over companies with male executives. And then for sales organizations. You know, there's been, you know, Gong has posted articles, but talking about, you know, oftentimes females are the top producers and they'll outperform their male counterparts. So there's a lot of value in having diverse viewpoints. And then also, you know, women, you know, are by nature, they're collaborators, are really, you know, they're great leaders. And they're able to drive, you know, really great results that are impactful for a business. So investing in that, there's value in it because it will directly correlate to revenue.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the impact it's had on our business has been tremendous. Mm-hmm. In addition to just not having a bunch of children running around in the locker room, you know, it obviously added sort of a level of maturity. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't intentional, but I think after that, we went on a streak of just like the best candidates, 4 or 5 in a row happened to be women. And mm-hmm. so we sort of, all of a sudden, we were now very, very close to 50-50. And it's been roughly, at one point, I think we have one team that was almost all women. And, you know, it's like, okay, do you do anything to balance out, or do you just let the numbers sort of work their way out or work themselves out? Because eventually, statistically, it'll sort of balance out as long as the systems are set up in the right way.
Right. Because at the end of the day, it's about hiring the best person for the role. But then, you know, doing things so that you're not unintentionally eliminating candidates from applying for the role is really what it's going to come down to.
That's one thing that I thought, no way. That's crazy. The way you'd write a job, like a job posting, like how could that possibly influence people? It's something I didn't get in the early days when, you know, we were just trying to figure out hiring. And then, you know, we read the book, Who, like the Method for Hiring A Players, which was mm-hmm. a lot. And then sort of realized that when we started tweaking the job, like we looked at the job posting as sort of like a landing page, right? Yeah. It's like you treat your landing pages, you know, with, you split test them and you're always trying to, you know, when you find, you know, bad lead flow, you're always, you know, modifying those. It's like, okay, so we started doing the same thing with our job ads, and not just to balance like the male female split, but a lot of different things, sources. We ended up changing the job title that we'd advertised for because we weren't getting the right candidate flows. And so we've played around with that quite a bit to make sure that we are generating top of funnel.
Right. I think
one of the books that really opened my eyes was Lean In, and just the ways that you can frame up certain things. So the podcast is not about me. Talk to me about how we can build, you know, really good top of funnel, like real good candidates.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Lean In, which is actually a great segue point. You know, one of the things that Sheryl Sandberg talks about in the book is a study that HP did of women and when they'll apply for a job. And what they found is that when there, you know, is criteria, women, if they can't check all the boxes, they won't apply. Men, typically, if they could check 60% of the boxes, they would apply for the job. And so what we've seen, and what one of our thought leaders actually did at her company, they looked at their performance profile and they eliminated anything that was non-essential. So they had lots of things on there, but a lot of them were nice to haves. They weren't requirements for the job. And so they went through knowing that women typically will opt out if they don't think they can do everything. And they eliminated anything that wasn't an essential requirement for the job, which was a really great way of kind of trimming that out. And, you know, they have it, but not what they're publicly posting. So that's a great way to do it. Another thing that was really interesting is looking at the words that are in your performance profile, which is what you talked about. And so I was actually talking to a company called Textio at Sastr. And one of the words that had come up was expert. And Textio, they actually analyze, you know, billions of data sets about the language and what it represents. And so one of the words, expert, I asked them to put it in, and it, sure enough, it came back and said it's a masculine term. And what we found is that there's certain words, again, that are either engaging or off-putting to women. And so there's, you know, looking at it, and a great thing that companies can do is ask the women at your company for input. You know, what stands out at them, maybe what makes them uncomfortable, or maybe what gives them pause for applying. It's a great way to maybe redo some of what the performance profile is so that it's more appealing. And then the other thing is women, we did a survey of our subscriber base, and what we found is the number one thing women look at when they're deciding if they want to apply to a company is who works there on the executive team. So they look, you know, a lot of companies will publish their leadership teams. And what they don't realize is that if you've got all men, or what we refer to as the token female, that actually sends the wrong message. And so understandably, you can't necessarily change that. But you may want to consider not advertising it, because it is sending a very clear message about who's at the top, and women want to grow in their careers. And they're looking at that as maybe limited opportunity for them to advance. And so while you're in the process of trying to improve that or in diversifying your executive team, you know, maybe consider taking that off so that you get more candidates to come in and connect with you. And then you can have the conversation as opposed to them self-selecting out before they ever talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Cause it is this audience that is almost like underserved or undersold to. And when you're like competing for talent, mm-hmm. you're finding that, you know, I was, when I read that section in Lean In, I chuckled at myself because I was thinking back to like when I was, I think still in university or at, maybe I just finished and this company, you know, I had a couple of years of sales experience and I was applying for this outside sales role. And like, I think I was still in school because I was doing like school in the evenings because I wanted the experience. And I remember the CEO sat me down and said, okay, well, what do you expect to be making first year? And I like looked him straight in the eye and I was like, 100 grand a year. He's like, well, you have no experience in this industry. You have no experience as sales, outside sales reps. You have no experience here. And I was like, that's okay. I'll figure it out. Right. And he's like, well, I remember they tried to, which was this, that would have been the smart thing to do was to, they offered me an inside sales job and said, we'll train you here until you get the hang of our products in the industry. And then we'll give you this outside sales role. And I said, nope. I'll go find a job that will give me this opportunity. And I sort of thought of that experience. I was like, oh, so other people aren't exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so great that you have that aha. And I think, I really applaud that because I think that's so much of like, men are such amazing advocates in this, and they're such an important part of the process. And so having those moments of understanding, learning, you know, and kind of that awareness is so valuable. And it's so important because having that alternate perspective really makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So having a look at, just to recap that point, it's having a look at the way that we write our job postings, having a look at the way we sort of advertise and the composition of our team, really the biggest sort of top three pieces there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, I think if you are doing great things, like, you know, your review page on, you know, any sort of peer review site, you know, making that a priority of, if you've got women who love working there, especially in the sales team, make sure that they're writing about it. Because that's the other place people are going to source information about you. So there's a lot of different ways you can tackle this depending on, you know, what you have resources to do, what stage your company's at, you know, maybe what challenges you're facing. So there's lots of options.
Okay. So we have the top of funnel problem. Let's just say solve, because in, you know, 20 minutes on a podcast, we can solve all of the problems. So at least we've given some insights, hopefully some things to think about if you're sitting as a sales leader and trying to think, okay, well, our sales team is all dudes and, you know, they're great dudes, but, you know, we want a little diversity. So there's some things we can do to grow the top of funnel. What are some things that we can do, like that we need to do differently in order to retain top female talent?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I think this is the thing that I really think companies need to be paying attention to, because the great news is the last couple of years, there's been a lot of awareness around getting more women into sales and sales leadership. What is scary is there's almost no talk about this. This is the key part, that retention and development of these women. So as far as retaining goes, career growth is a really big thing. And really anybody who's a high achiever, that's going to be a priority, whether they're men or women. What becomes an issue is when companies have a lack of leadership, regardless of role. It doesn't have to be sales, but where there's no women in the leadership organization or few women. And that sends a very clear message. And when you're there over a period of time and you're not seeing women move up in their career, they're not earning promotions, little things like for sales, not going to trade shows, right? Or like not knowing how the trade show team is being selected when they're going. Those are all kind of little data points that start accumulating. and a certain assessment is made of the company and a female's perspective of her ability to move up within the organization. And the scariest thing that we've learned in the survey that we've done is women vote with their employment. So they might not necessarily tell you that they're feeling like they don't have an opportunity and they'll leave. So, you know, that's a big one. And that's a bigger challenge of as far as solving for it. And I think that's what we've had a lot of companies partner with Girls Club specifically for, that because they're trying to solve for getting more women into these leadership positions, but they don't necessarily have the resources to do training in-house. And so they're partnering with Girls Club to help supplement their development so that they can help start solving for that problem. Another thing is, you know, with salespeople, right? We love contests. We're motivated by that. And so, you know, I think traditionally, you know, there's lots of things that are really fun. You know, there's gongs, right, that are in offices. I've been at companies that have done, you know, sporting box seat giveaways. But the thing is that that doesn't always appeal to your female audience. And so I think allowing again, women to give input, especially your top performers, what would a great incentive look like? What would you want? What would motivate you to go above and beyond achieving your number? You know, those are really valuable to give them a voice, to give them an input, and then to do something with it. Because again, then you're showing that you're factoring them into the thought process when you're thinking about fun things for the team or for the company.
Gotcha. So you're saying gongs? Not gender neutral.
Don't get me wrong. I love a good gong. So, but yes, I mean, typically those tend to be in a little bit more male environments, a little bit more beat the chest, if you will.
Okay. So gong's out of the picture, but what if every time let's say we replace that with like an air horn, is that masculine?
I think we might be going the wrong direction.
I figured gong, low pitch, high pitch, maybe go the opposite direction. You can't go any lower than like.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, gongs are great, you know? So, I mean, I think that's, if that's part of your culture, like by all means do it, you know, I've had multiple teams where we've had gongs and we loved it. So we also use things like, hoopla, right? Where we had like the little fireworks going off on the TV screen. And those are a little bit maybe less loud and invasive.
Yeah. At one point we had our engineers looking at, because you know, remember the Bud Light lights came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had our engineers looking at if we could hook that up to like our Salesforce so that anytime, you know, a rep booked a meeting or we closed a deal, it would like,
sure.
And then we started doing the math. Like, we don't want this thing going off all the time. This is a really, really bad idea.
Right. Oh my gosh. I know. And that would absolutely be the case because yeah, especially with sales development, you know, hopefully if things are going the way they should be, then that's going to happen quite frequently and be probably more disruptive than fun.
I mean, it'd be good. It'd be like great for like a day. And then you're like, okay, I'm tired of this. We need to,
right.
Need this light.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. But so, yeah. So, I mean, I think like the big thing, if I was going to summarize, is like involve them. That's really what it boils down to, is involve them, you know, and I mean, be intentional about who you tap on the shoulder. You want to pick people that are your performers, that are valuable employees, that embody, you know, what makes your company great, but get them involved, ask for their opinion. I mean, ask them for, like I said, on the performance profiles, you know, like that's a great way to get their input, get them involved and show that you value them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to say we had a bit of an advantage because our first VP hire was female, and so that's helped sort of round out a lot of the experience that my co-founder and I lacked.
Yeah, and that's so great if you find yourself in that situation, you know. And I think, and then a lot of companies that don't, you know, then you know it's really helpful to go. And it's great, you know, people, especially millennials, right? We love to give our opinion about things. We like to have our input given. So it's kind of like you're checking two boxes there.
Blow me away. No, I never thought that about millennials ever. Even though I got grouped into millennials at some point. They were like, it's Gen X, it's Gen Y. And they're like, you know what? Fuck it. We don't want to keep track of letters anymore or go to numbers. So like, we're just going to create this big group for everybody. now I'm a snowflake as well. So we talked about, so sort of retention is really based on around like having strong female leadership. Mm-hmm. It sort of not contradictory, but one of the challenges is getting women to sort of strive for these promotions where they might not tick all the boxes, how do we make sure that they're like, we're creating these opportunities for them? Because I've noticed on our team, it's especially when we had our one like account management team that when they were like mostly, it was like 80% female at one point, there was hardly any, oh, I need a job. I need a promotion. I want a promotion. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I was thinking about it. I'm like, oh, the team's like really settled down. And I was thinking through the lens of this team in general. And then I realized it's like, oh, it's like, maybe it's the gender split. And it didn't fully sort of clue in. And then reading Lean In, like, oh yes, that's probably what it was. But we've noticed even since, you know, we sort of do a Google style, if you want to level up, you fill out you write like a one pager and you sort of sit down with a couple colleagues and they approve or don't approve, or generally it's approve because you've worked on the sort of level up proposal with your direct manager. So, yeah. You know, most of these are going through, but we have people do that. We noticed that we actually had to almost put some individuals' names into like a sales loft cadence and be like, hey, have you sent me your level up yet? Like I've got one person. It was almost to a level of badgering. Like, hey, why haven't you done this? So like, how do we, other than badgering, which is obvious, apparently my style, how do we sort of encourage them? So one, I think create more opportunities, and two, sort of encourage without badgering females to sort of step, maybe take a jump larger than they wouldn't normally.
Yeah. That's such a great question. And it's such an interesting phenomenon, because we actually fell trapped to this at Girls Club, believe it or not. We were launching the program and we had all these amazing women raise their hands, and we were going to get everyone signed up and finalize everything. And we had about a 65% dropout. And what it stemmed from was, well, these were women that they were nervous to raise their hand inside their own companies to ask for the resources. And even our mentors, these incredibly accomplished women who 8-10 plus years experience in sales leadership, it took individual calls to say, hey, we would love to have you. You would be great. For them to say, yeah, sure, I'm in. And it wasn't a reluctance to do it. It was women need a tap on the shoulder. And it's something, you know, that companies can do, whether, you know, no matter what level they're at. But if you see someone doing something extraordinary, if you see somebody just doing something better or different, it doesn't need to be even a promotion, but just saying, that's amazing. And I think you've got a lot of potential and you could do anything you want. It's unbelievable what that does for a female. It just unlocks something in her that she's got there, but it's the belief component. And so men, women, it doesn't matter who, but taking that time when you see something to acknowledge it, it's unbelievable how powerful that is. And that can go a really, really long way in encouraging them to grow and push themselves. And so, and take a risk. I think that's really what it comes down to, is encouraging them to stretch outside of what they're comfortable with. Because a lot of times, you know, females are focused on the team, or they're focused on, you know, if I do a great job, my work will speak for itself. And they're not necessarily the best champions or advocates for themselves. And again, that's something we're working to arm them with at Girls Club. And I think it's this twofold approach, right? It's like, as we're educating women on how to do a better job of that, it's also, you know, having companies help women get out of their own ways with tendencies that may unintentionally be sabotaging their careers.
Hmm. It's funny. I'm as you were saying that, I'm realizing we need to change the way we do outreach for our podcast, because I've had our ratio of guests has been terrible. It's or not terrible, but like mostly men. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. And in the early days, we actually I talked to, you know, the people that were helping me sort of, you know, it's not just me. We've got a team of people that sort of help do this off the side of their desk and keep the podcast running every week, because I'm not a great video editor. And in terms of like regularly, you know, producing the content, it's not my strength. But the one thing that we noticed was that when we'd reach out to women that were, you know, great fits, say, hey, would you like to come on the show? No. I don't think I'd be a good fit. Like, and so I think what you're saying is, instead of saying, hey, would you like to come on the show? I need to go with, hey, I've heard from Margaret that you'd be excellent. I think you'd be great on the show. Yeah, how about we book some time? So a little bit more of an assumptive close.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so, and same with the sort of the promotions, the level up. So internally, it's that tap on the shoulder that you call it. Hey, I think you'd be great at this. And not even necessarily a call to action, just sort of tap on the shoulder. I think you'd be great at this.
Yeah. Yeah. There doesn't even have to be a job available. I mean, I think it's just calling something out when you see it.
Yeah, that's fair. And then that sort of, that piece that slowly builds and builds and builds, the confidence so that they feel more like taking the next step.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, for women, I think it's just acknowledging like we are, most of the times preparers. We like to feel like we have a skill set before we go for something. So, you know, another thing it could be is investing in training, you know, and again, it benefits everyone on your sales team, but for your females, it will go a lot further of either supporting for them to seek out external training and development to further themselves. It's bringing it in for your company, but investing in training and development is a really important thing, especially for women in sales, because that matters. That confidence stems partially from knowing that you have the necessary skills to do the job well.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like in the last 10 years, it feels like it's one of the things that's been sort of ignored the most is not the sort of the female side of things, but that training.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We've had this talk, cause as a sales leader, like coaching was one of my big sticking points and it was one of the most important things I felt we could do. And it's, you know, I think technology has been amazing in the last 10 years and it's really empowered sales professionals, but it's also created this other problem of just give them this tech stack and it'll work itself out sort of thing, right? If we just give them enough tools, they'll do their jobs well. And it's been, you know, it's great that the companies like Gong and Chorus and Jiminy are investing in, you know, getting platforms that make it easier for managers to coach. Because yes, that's been training and development has definitely been one of those things that I think technology has replaced, and it shouldn't have. It should, you know, complement.
The number of times that I hear people ask me, "Well, what's the best CRM?" It's like, well, tell me about your sales team first, right? Do you need CRM? Like, if you're a one or two person shop, I'm a big fan of just Google Sheet, man. Like,
right.
Why invest the hours and hours and hours if it's just one of you, you know? And so I see so many people that just. That make that jump into technology, and they're allocating their funds to solve a problem because they're allocating their funds to software that they normally would or they might have otherwise to coaching.
Right, and they're just putting a megaphone on bad messaging.
You sound like you've been drinking Kyle Porter's Kool-Aid a little bit.
You know, I did work with him for a while, so there's probably a good chance.
How big was the, so you had eight, you inherited eight people when you started there?
Yep. Yeah. So I was hire number 49. Cool. I vividly remember that because I was really bummed I wasn't 50.
The only person I've ever heard saying, I'm really sad I'm not 50.
I think they were hired the same day as me. I think it was just like a clerical thing, but yeah. So, and then when I left, we were closing in on 120.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big journey.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, can you talk about the sort of like, what was your team like, the split on your team like?
Yeah. So it was really interesting. There were a couple of things, you know, sales ops, I had an amazing luxury, which was, the company had foundationally done a really nice job of setting core values in place and then being very clear about who they were as a company and attracting great talent. So for me, I think a couple of things. I cannot tell you how many times in an interview a female commented on the fact that she liked that I was running the sales development team. That would always come up. And any female, males, never. Female interviews, every single one. And so we ended up, I mean, for the most part, it would fluctuate somewhere probably between 30 and 45% on average of having, you know, kind of a male-female split. When we had leaders, we had a male and a female manager that were reporting to me. So, you know, I think there it was the job, the way we communicated about who we were and what we were, it magnetized people in a way that, you know, our candidate pool was usually pretty diverse, which was really great. And then, you know, because of that, our sales development team, you know, because we were just picking the best talent for the job, then we were able to have a pretty diverse sales development team. But I absolutely know people were looking at our website and they saw at the time it was, you know, Katie Christian, who was overseeing customer success, Tammy McQueen was overseeing marketing. So there were three female leaders. And that went a really long way of people feeling excited about their potential at the company.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's almost this sort of hidden benefit as you unlock the candidate pool that you wouldn't previously have access to if you're just like aware of this. And because it's not always just about the equality, it's about getting the best person. And if you're doing things wrong, you're not giving yourself the best chance to hire that best person.
Exactly. Because that's the big thing. It's not about hiring women. It's about hiring the best people, but it starts with attracting a diverse audience.
Right. And making sure that we made so many mistakes unintentionally where we were filtering out really good people that they either wouldn't even apply, or when they would walk in the front door or they'd realize, hey, this is not a place where I feel like I'm going to be supported, have a chance to move up.
Right. And we didn't touch on that and we don't need to go into it too much, but you mentioned office environment, that will absolutely factor into a decision being made. So, you know, again, things to just be thinking about and even proactively addressing them. You know, I think like, don't shy away from it. If you know that it might be off-putting or you see it as something that has hurt you in the past, like call it out in the interview process. Like that will be respected a lot. And just addressing, like, we acknowledge we have some work to do, and we're actively working towards resolving that and making it better.
Yeah. Now, I want to jump into the cold call segment, but I do want to add, I thought this was a really great, I thought you'd be a great guest, one, because great experience in sales development, but two, I think the number of really good candidates that I feel like our team has lost because we weren't doing some of these things right is probably pretty huge. And I can think of a couple of real examples that would have had a massive impact on our company that we weren't able to hire because of, you know, how the early culture was. And it wasn't anything intentional, and it wasn't anything that we were, you know, sort of doing out of any malice or anything like that. It was just out of sort of hadn't realized that certain things that we were doing or communicating, hey, this is not a friendly place for women. And once we sort of realized, like, it took us losing a couple of really important hires where we're like, we were sure we were gonna, like, she was gonna join, you know, like we got all the way to the culture fit where she's met the whole team. We did our like team bonding thing and it was, everything went really great until this, like the one thing at the end, we're like, oh, we really need to change things because we're missing out on great hires that would have had a big impact on our company.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry you had that experience, but that's an amazing, you know, that's a great story to share.
I mean, I think if you look at the journey from like as being an entrepreneur, you have to get used to the fact that you suck at almost everything. And like the journey of being an entrepreneur is just sucking less slowly. You
know, right.
Every day you suck a little bit less at everything that you do. And I think every couple of months I'm incompetent at my job again. And so it's just sort of and realizing that, okay, we got to get just a little bit better. And like when you see something where you're like, oh, we really fucked that up, let's try not to make that happen again. And you know, bring somebody on the podcast that can help a few other people. Maybe.
Right. Always learning, right? Failures are just a learning experience.
Exactly. It was at the, I can't remember, I don't know the exact quote, but it's something about Michael Jordan. He never lost a game. He learned something. Mm-hmm. That was a learning experience.
Yeah.
It's great. So speaking of learning experiences.
Yes.
You've got all this experience in sales development. So, and now you're at We Are Girls Club, and I promised you an opportunity to sort of share your message in the most podcast way possible. Are you ready to cold call me?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. So do you want to set the context?
Yes.
Who am I? What's my job? What am I wearing?
Yeah, perfect. All right. So I was thinking the best thing would probably be calling you about a company to get involved in Girls Club. So whether that's putting women into the program or sponsoring, okay. You're going to be a sales leader. So you can pick what your title is if you want to be a director or VP. I mean, shoot for the moon, be a CRO. So I'm going to call you and talk to you about getting either your company or some women on your team involved in Girls Club.
Okay. And I am going to try and give you a hard time without coming across as sexist. I want to throw some objections, and I can't make this easy for you, but at the same time. So
I won't lay up any of the easy objections that I know are probably coming my way.
All right. That said, ring, ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin, it's Margaret with Girls Club. How's your day going?
Good. What's Girls Club? I'm just walking into a meeting. I don't know.
Great question. Colin, I was reaching out because I noticed on your website that you're hiring salespeople. And we work with companies that are looking to attract women to their sales organization. Is that something you guys are trying to do?
No. We hire the best people. Doesn't matter what gender they are.
Okay. Have you recently lost any females from your sales organization?
We've got the best hiring process. Our culture is the best. We don't lose any of the candidates that we want.
Great. Okay. So how many women on your sales team are females?
20%.
Okay, great. And are you happy with the diversity on your team, or is that something that you're exploring improving?
It feels pretty diverse to me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so it's really interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with any of the research out there that shows that women typically outperform men in sales roles. If you could increase the percent of females on your team by attracting more of them, do you think you could drive more revenue?
If that's true. I'm skeptical though.
How about this? If I could send you data that cites that it's possible, would you take a meeting so I could tell you more about what Girls Club is and getting women involved?
Yes, I think I have to say that at this stage.
You are a tough nut. No, most people aren't that difficult, although I usually leverage my referrals a lot more than cold calls.
That's fair. I always have a tough time coming up with good objections sometimes. And so I'm like, you know, the straight up no doesn't really do anything. How many people off the bat go, what is Girls Club? So I feel like I gave you a bit of a soft lead in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, you did. And that's such a great thing. And then, you know, I think like some of the things that we run into is training budget, right? I mean, that is really sometimes what it stems down to is being able to afford putting somebody into the program. And so that's really for us, it's more so understanding what's the company trying to accomplish and figuring out, it's just aligning goals. And, you know, there are absolutely companies that it's just not a priority, and that's okay. You know, we're not going to try to force a circle into a square, because if they don't see it as a challenge right now, then, you know, we're probably not going to convince them that it is.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine there's got to be a pitch. Like, yes, it's at a tactical level, it's coming out of the training budget, but at a higher level, it feels like an executive level decision they need to make. It's like, if I can show you that you're going to get a 50x ROI on spending a couple grand on some training for your team, and that means you're going to hire better candidates, and that those better candidates are going to be top, you know, better performers than your current sales team, you know, regardless of what it was. Yeah, I think I'd place that bet.
Yeah.
But again, it's a difference between like having that. I'm not trying to teach you how to sell here. You would.
No, you're good. Listen, always learning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been out of the cold calling game for a while. I've been in leadership, so I kind of need to dust off a little bit of the rust and
I think you did
pick up some more skills.
Yeah, I think it was great. It was probably better than if I had to cold call you. Let's put it that way.
Well, thank you. I hope I did your podcast justice with that one.
Absolutely. Margaret, if people want to get in touch with you, if they got questions, if they want to talk to you about coaching or just want to ask for some advice, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. So you're more than welcome to reach out to me directly. It's just margaret@wearegirlsclub.com. Please email me and ask me any questions. And then if you want to just learn more about Girls Club, our website's really easy too. Wearegirlsclub.com. You can go there, get information. And we have a subscriber email that we send out. So if you just want to keep tabs on webinars we're going to be doing, when our next program is, feel free to sign up there so you can get up-to-date information about what's happening with the program.
That sounds great. Thanks for coming on the show, Margaret.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.